This is WSHU's After All Things, with daily news and culture from around the Long Island Sound. The MTA says three of Long Island's busiest railroad crossings will be replaced with bridges or underpasses. Fairfield residents want the town to reconsider speed cameras. School districts in Connecticut will now have to tell parents when their child is restrained or secluded on the day it happens. Plus, the story of a special concert and a special conductor that was recently hosted in Cheshire. Those stories and more are ahead. I'm Molly Ingram, in for Sabrina Garone. Three of the Long Island Railroad's busiest street crossings will get redesigned. WSHU's Desiree Diorio explains.
Most Long Island drivers have experienced the pain of a traffic jam at a railroad crossing. Now, three of the busiest are set to be replaced with either bridges or underpasses. Those crossings are at Fifth Avenue in Brentwood, Straight Path in Wyandanch, and Lowell Avenue in Central Islip. The MTA says it'll use $7.5 million from the federal government to complete the redesigns. Railroad officials say the new crossings will make train service more reliable and eliminate vehicle traffic and noise at those crossings. No word yet on when work is scheduled to begin. Desiree Diorio, WSHU News.
The town of Fairfield put in new speed cameras at school zones earlier this year. Some residents want them to reconsider. WSHU's Janice Roman has more.
More than 100 residents spoke at a town forum this week, most of them opposed to the new speed cameras the town installed in six school zones. Drivers will get a fine if they go more than 10 miles per hour above the speed limit. But residents say they're concerned about privacy and whether the town needs more surveillance technology. Fairfield officials say they only use drivers' personal information to send out violations. Then they delete it 30 days later. Janice Roman, WSHU News.
School districts in Connecticut will now have to tell parents when their child is restrained or secluded on the day it happens. WSHU's Shelley Hassman-Kadish reports.
The new statewide policy shortens the reporting period, which was previously within 24 hours of the incident. Special education advocates pushed for the change. Under state law, a student may be physically restrained or confined to a room to prevent imminent harm to the student or to others. The state reports that more than 46,000 students were restrained or secluded in the 2023-24 school year. More than 4,000 of those cases involved students with disabilities. That's an increase over the previous school year. Shelley Hassman-Kadish, WSHU News.
Make Music Day is celebrated around the world every year on June 21st, the summer solstice. The longest day of the year is marked with free community music making. More on how one Connecticut town celebrated is coming up after this.
WSHU and the Westport Writers Workshop invite Connecticut writers to take part in Connecticut Voices, a new storytelling collaboration. The theme is, What Haunts You? Start writing, revising, or fine-tuning your story now. Submissions open September 1st. The winning writer will receive $250 and the chance to tell your original story on WSHU. Learn more at WSHU.org.
There is less Canadian wildfire smoke in the air in Connecticut today, but don't get too excited. The region could see more over the weekend. The air quality in most of Connecticut and Long Island has been deemed unhealthy. Thunderstorms are in the forecast for this weekend. The town of Brookhaven has set an 18-month moratorium on AI data centers, the first of its kind on Long Island. Hundreds of residents spoke against it, and the board approved the moratorium unanimously. At least one member says he supports a permanent ban. A military drone maker is opening a factory in Bridgeport. Quantum Cyber is buying an old industrial building in the city's East End. The company says it'll employ about 80 people in Bridgeport. Make Music Day is celebrated around the world every year on June 21st, the summer solstice. The longest day of the year is marked with free community music making. This year, a special band concert took place at Ball and Socket Arts in Cheshire, Connecticut. WSHU music host Emily Boyer was there.
It's a humid evening in Cheshire, where more than 30 musicians of every skill level are gathered outside in rows of folding chairs to perform some of the most recognizable American marches.
Oh, well, we love Sousa music, so definitely we were coming. It's easy to say, ooh, Sousa Palooza, let's go.
I love the music. I think they're doing a great job for just really being together for the first time.
That's Larry and Roxolana. They're at Sousa Palooza, an event dedicated to the music of John Philip Sousa. It's part of Make Music Day, an international musical holiday where music is everywhere. Everyone is encouraged to sing, play an instrument, or host musicians in their community. It started 44 years ago in France. New York hosted the first gatherings on this side of the Atlantic. Now, people in cities and towns across the United States come out to thousands of performances and participatory music events each year. Ball and Socket Arts, a Cheshire-based nonprofit housed in an old button factory, has hosted Make Music Day events in the past. This year, their director of programming, Lydia Blaisdell, wanted it to be even bigger.
I just want it to be like a really joyful space for folks who play every weekend to have a fun time with their friends, but also for someone who hasn't picked up their trumpet in a couple years to like maybe come back to it a little bit.
Lydia saw Sousa Palooza events organized elsewhere in the country in past years. She saw that it was a chance to collaborate with other organizations in the community.
I'd always been excited about it, and we're across the street from this great music school, West Main Music, and so I talked to them and talked to the library and was like, should we do it? Is it Sousa? Is this the year for Sousa Palooza?
It was the year. With America 250, the time was right to bring Sousa's patriotic marches to Cheshire. If you were in a high school marching band or have attended a 4th of July concert, you've likely heard a Sousa march. Probably his most famous is Stars and Stripes Forever. Sousa led the United States Marine Band to prominence, earning the nickname the American March King. After that, he organized his own group, the Sousa Band. Starting in 1892, they toured across the country and abroad. They gave more than 15,000 shows over almost 40 years. The band would roll in on the train and perform for sometimes tens of thousands of fans. Between concerts and people listening at home on new technology called wax cylinders, like what you're hearing now, you could hear Sousa marches everywhere. They helped define American music. Sousa's name is also attached to an instrument he invented, the sousaphone. Related to the tuba, it wraps around the player with a large bell that extends up and over the band.
Yes. There we go. It's this deep, rich sound that really drives the rhythm of the entire band, I would argue.
Very loud. You get the, it's really pulling everyone together. Everyone's playing off us. It sounds great.
That's John and Max, two friends who came to Sousa Palooza with sousaphones from their college marching band. What brought college students on summer break out on a hot night to play in their hometown?
Our former band director, John Kuhner, was in it. So, of course, like, all our friends are sending us the news that Sousa Palooza is going on. And we figured we'd just pop in and play.
When John and Max were starting their junior year of high school, their band director, John Kuhner, suffered a stroke in August at the beginning of the marching band season.
And I would still be doing what I was doing, but unfortunately I had a massive stroke back in 2022. Yeah. It affected my speech, my balance. I was paralyzed on the side completely.
After his initial stroke, Kuhner had five more strokes. He retired from his 22-year teaching career to focus on recovery. He got support from his wife, family, and friends. But through the recovery, Kuhner didn't know if he would conduct again. That's where marching band fanatic and Sousa Palooza organizer Jim Mingo comes in. His daughter was starting her senior year of high school as the drum major leading the marching band when Kuhner was hospitalized. Mingo jumped at the chance to get Kuhner back on the podium.
And I don't think you even hesitated.
No. I was like, I think I can do this. I looked over at my wife. I said, I think I can do this.
That call from Mingo was a few months ago. I asked Kuhner what it meant to him to be minutes away from conducting his first concert since his stroke.
This just brought me back, because I thought I was just giving it up. It was done for me, completely. but I appreciate this opportunity because I think at some point I'll be able to do more in the future.
And what about the students, the ones who didn't get to finish their high school band careers with him?
It's really great to be playing with Mr. Kuhner again. It's been a while.
I feel like it was something we had to do, you know. It's the first time he's conducted in a long time. You know, I feel like it's an unfinished business. I have to come back here and play just one more time for him.
Max, John, and Mr. Kuhner's other students who came out to Sousapalooza were drawn by the love of music and the shared experience of playing in band together, like fans coming out 100 years ago when Sousa and his band came to town. This is community music making at its best. Keep an eye out for concerts in your area this summer, especially for America 250, where you might just be able to tap along to Sousa marches. Emily Boyer, WSHU. For the latest from around the Long Island Sound, you can listen on the radio, online, with our free app, and of course, right here on the After All Things podcast every weekday evening. I'm Molly Ingram, in for Sabrina Garone. I hope you have a great weekend.